See what God has for us this morning. It's going to be good. This series that we're on has been, it's kind of a long one, and this is, it says, How to Live Like a Believer 7, and I believe we've got a couple more in it yet. There's some things that we're getting into and we're building into. I want to get into some more of the real nitty-gritty about where we live and how we live as a Christian and kind of our home life and kind of, we did a little bit last week and a couple weeks ago about how much we allow in our life. But there really is some things that when you start to understand it, I didn't when I first got saved, but I, thank God, had a good pastor that was willing to share that stuff with me. And he told me about things that would maybe bring a curse upon my life or that would hold me back in some way or, you know, things that were just unhealthy. And I've shared some. We did one already on the words that come out of your mouth and how important those are that you're speaking life. You know, you want to speak good things over yourself, those kind of things. But I got one more I want to get into a little bit more on that. And then also the discipling, the purpose of Christianity, the way that it flows and functions is that we grow up as a believer and mature and then mentor or disciple others in their faith in Christ. And then they grow up and kind of do the same. And that's where, you know, I can't do it all just from the pulpit. It's the people. It's you guys mentoring one another. If you, this is a total side note, but if you're into the ranching industry and you've got a shepherd that's over some sheep, the shepherd, yes, will guide them into greener pastures and keep them away from the poisonous weeds and that stuff. And I'm definitely helping with that. But the sheep also have leaders among them. Okay, and in our ranch, the cattle, we have some that are the lead cow. Okay, and they will lead. And so when they want to swim the river and go to the island, that's the one you'll see doing it first. And the rest of them will follow because that cow knows, hey, there's really good grass over there this time of year. Let's go get it. And so that one that knows better, the more mature one, leads the rest of them. Okay, and it happened in our herd that one lead cow we had for many years passed away. Didn't make the trek across the river. Didn't get all the way there or something. And another one we had to put down and other stuff. But anyway, over the years, somebody else steps up. Okay? And in the body of Christ, it's real similar to that. Okay, you definitely, you know, you have the shepherd, but you guys understand and know kind of where each other are at in your walk, and some of you are going in a good direction and you're able to lead others in that same direction. Okay, and that's what part of that. We'll get into that in a couple weeks, I believe. But this week, let's start with some prayer. Father God, We're opening up our hearts to you, Father. We trust that you will move in our hearts through your Holy Spirit. Speak to us. Reveal to us things about you and your word, about us and who we are in Christ. And Father, just give us an understanding that causes us to walk out of here in a better place with you, in a better understanding of you than we were before. Father, we thank you for encouraging our faith, encouraging boldness, encouraging the love to emanate through us, Lord, and let us just take it forth from here, empowered by you and your Holy Spirit to do what you call us to do. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So this week, it's actually, believe it or not, I'm putting this in a book format. I hope to get it into an actual book at some point. I've got them written out as chapters. In my book, it's chapter 6 that we're on right now, because the first one would have been an introduction. And so we're up to chapter 6. But this one I titled The Holy Spirit. Okay, because the Holy Spirit is so vital to our walk with God that we need to have at least, I could do 10 chapters on just him, but I want to give you a little bit, because this whole series is really designed to give you more understanding of not only what it means to be a believer, but more importantly, on this side of eternity, we need to know how to live like a believer. Okay, and that's where the name came from, how to live like a believer. That's what we're after. Because God didn't save you to just struggle through life. Okay, he doesn't want you struggling through your whole life on earth being kicked around by the world. Okay, he not only authorized you when he gave your life to him, but then he empowered you for success. Okay, he has given you all things that you need to have success. You literally have a no contest advantage over the unbeliever. Okay, over the lost person that has not believed on the Lord Jesus Christ, they haven't devoted or given their life to him. Okay, you have a no contest advantage over that unbeliever when it comes to victory in this life. Because remember, Jesus said he came to give us victory, right? Abundant life. God has given us everything and given you everything that you need in this life. I'll turn this up just a little bit. Let's look at a scripture. We'll start out in 2 Peter chapter 1. verses 2 through 4, it says, "Grace and peace be multiplied unto you, simply through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord, according as His divine power has given unto us," okay, "His divine power has given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness, through the knowledge of Him that has called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, so that by these you might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust." Okay, the key is learning to lay down your abilities, your skills, strengths, talents, and giving them over entirely unto God. And He may use them in the kingdom. He may use them in your workplace, your family, and even mentoring, discipling others. God may use some of those, but we have to learn to lay them down to Him, to turn that over to Him and not do it on our own strength. Okay, we want to allow His glorious and miraculous power to flow through you. That's what you want. I want it to be His power, His anointing. I pray over what to pray over. Okay, I pray over what to teach. I pray and want it to be Him and His anointing that is letting these things flow in my life. Okay, God is certainly the key to good things and the right things happening in your life. But kind of like we talked about a few weeks ago when we talked about the prayer in the life of the believer, you have a little part to play in it. Remember, you have not because you ask not, okay? You literally need to put yourself out there and connect with God. So if God has given us all things that pertain unto life and godliness, then we as believers need to learn how to access that. If He has given us all things that pertain unto life and godliness, we have to learn how to access those things that pertain unto life and godliness. They've been given like a gift. It's like a box you got to open, okay? Our family sometimes, anybody use gift bags? Okay, instead of wrapping them, you just put them in a bag, stiff a little tissue paper down on top, and there you got your stuff. So you pull out the tissue paper and you're digging it out. You need to learn to access what's in that bag or pull out the gift that God has given to you. Okay, last week we talked a little bit about how you can still access the things of the flesh to try to deal with things in life. Okay, remember, flesh and spirit, you can still access the things of your flesh. You can draw from your own education. You can draw from your own experiences. You can draw from your own skills or abilities. You know, you can step up and try to fix stuff. You can still access your own flesh to deal with things. But our goal as a believer is to access His power that is within us. Okay, and that power is in the form of the Holy Spirit. Okay, He said He was going to give it to us. He gave it, and now we have it. Okay, we have Him within us. Okay, if you want to know God, if you want to know the ways of God, including how to live like a believer, it is going to be the Holy Spirit that shows those things to you. The Holy Spirit is going to be the one within you that reveals it from the inside. Now, I'm going to talk here in a little bit about dealing with stuff in the flesh versus by faith. Because our flesh, you can figure things out, but that's dealing with it in an outward sense. When we live by faith, we're drawing from inside, by faith, believing that we know what we're supposed to do next. Okay, that comes from the Holy Spirit. The world will bombard you with, "I've got the answer, I've got what you need. You need a new Ferrari. Okay, you need a new pair of shoes. You need whatever it is." And the world will tell you that this is what you need to be successful, to be more important, to have joy, whatever it is. Okay, but the Holy Spirit really knows what will give you that joy. And we'll get into that in a minute. Let's read another scripture here. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 9. He said that, "As it is written, eye has not seen, neither has ear heard, neither has entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for them that love Him, but God has revealed them unto us by His Spirit." You guys see that? He has revealed His will to us by His Spirit. "For the Spirit searches all things, yea, the deep things of God." Okay, that word searches, you know, the Spirit searches all things. Okay, it's a King James word, but it means that the Holy Spirit inquires, seeks, and investigates the deep things of God and then tells them to you. Okay, he shares that. He is connected in that way that he doesn't have the flesh trying to pull him in different directions. So he hears perfectly what God wants and says and implies, and he shares it with you if you're listening. Okay, he's sharing it, but you've got to listen and pay attention to what he's saying. 1 Corinthians 2:12, a couple verses later, says that we have received not the spirit of the world, but we receive the Spirit which is from God, so that we might know freely, so that we might know the things that are freely given to us by God. Okay? If you want to know the gifts, the power, the anointing, all the things that he has given into your life and how to live it out as a believer, it's the Holy Spirit that he has given you that connects with you, that help you to understand what has been freely given to you, so then you can put it into play. Okay, because if you want things done in the natural realm, okay, if you, and you know, real life examples, you need healing in your body. It's already been given. It needs to manifest. Financial things need to manifest. We've got, you know, relational things that are going on, and the peace and joy in that relationship has been provided for, but we need to see it manifest. And so we want things to happen in the natural realm. And I'll tell you, in order for it to happen in the natural realm around you, it's going to be the Holy Spirit that puts things in motion to get it done. Okay, he's the one that's going to carry out the stuff that'll put you in a better place. Let me give you an example. Genesis chapter 1, verse 1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth, right? And it says that the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. And the capital S, Holy Spirit of God, moved upon the face of the waters. And God said, "Let there be light," and there was light. Okay, the Holy Spirit was right there from the very beginning, hovering in that darkness, upon that, in that void, waiting for the beckoning of God's voice to give him a command, to say, this is what needs to be done next. Okay, he was waiting to jump to whatever God wanted done. And so when God said, "Let there be light," the Holy Spirit made it happen. He was hovering there waiting for it to happen. Okay, that same Holy Spirit is within you. So if you want to connect with God and you want to know what the next thing to do is and you want to see things begin to manifest, Holy Spirit within you that is waiting for that beckoning of God, he is listening to God, he can now begin to do things in and through your life so that that divine power that's been given to you and all things that pertain unto life and godliness can begin to manifest because the Holy Spirit is carrying that out when we yield to him. Okay, that same Holy Spirit is within you that created the light, and now he is at your disposal. Okay, but many believers are not accessing him. They're not utilizing him the way that he was intended to in your life. Okay, it's kind of like you're still trying to figure things out on your own. You know, you're putting your own 2 cents worth in. Okay, we had kind of a funny moment yesterday. We have as a family a big old glass coin jar, we call it. It's this big old pickle jar kind of thing. And we always put our change in there. And then if we get to go on a vacation like this, we take that and cash it in at the bank. And whatever's in there, we kind of split it up 4 ways. And it's just that little bit of spending money. You know, give us something that kind of makes it more enjoyable. We always know that we got that growing, you know, throughout the year. And so it's going to be there. Well, yesterday we went to pour it into some baggies, so that we could take it to the bank. And I'm pouring it in. Margie's holding the bag open. And of course, a couple of the coins missed the bag and hit the floor. And so I pretty well got everything in there. I put the jar down and I said, "Hang on a minute, Margie. I got a couple coins," and I reached out in there with 2 pennies and I said, "I got to put my 2 cents worth in, okay, before you close that bag." And so the idea is that in that's really the only good point or good time to put your 2 cents worth in, right? When it literally is 2 cents and you're putting it in, okay? Because the Holy Spirit doesn't need your 2 cents, okay? The Holy Spirit doesn't need your input to be able to do things. He is going to be speaking that truth from the very beginning, Okay? And when we try to add to it or take away, that's like putting our two cents in and trying to make something more out of it. Okay? But we want to turn it over to Him. Okay? We want to release our situation, our prayer, our person, whoever, whatever's going on in our life, release that to the power of the Holy Spirit, because then supernatural things can happen, because the Holy Spirit is bigger than this natural world. Okay, he is more powerful than anything in the natural. So when we turn it over to Holy, He can now do supernatural things and get things to happen that would not happen any other way. So often when we pray, we seem to be praying for natural solutions. Okay, give you an example, and it's going to be personal, but I'll give you another example. A natural solution. We can go the natural route, or we can go the Holy Spirit supernatural route. Okay, and one example I can think of is the church has a need, financial need, right now. Okay, and I thought one response is I should pitch that to the church. I should tell them we've got this need, we need people to sow in, we need X amount of dollars, and I thought I should just tell them those details. Okay, and thank God I've got a good wife, and she said no. Let's turn it to God. Okay. What was that Mueller guy? What was his first name? George Mueller. He was awesome at that. Okay. One of those guys that you could handle it in the natural. You could pitch that and say, I need this for this. Or we can go to God with it and let God begin to move in hearts. And it's going to take faith in God to get that done, because it's not a personal, physical asking. Does that make sense? I'm not saying I'll never pitch or give you guys options or tell you about stuff like that. But I'm saying in that instance, that's one example I can think of where I could have went the natural route, or I can go the spiritual route. Okay, I can go to God with it and let God sort that out and figure out what needs to happen. Okay, so often we're praying for a natural solution, but the Holy Spirit can get things done that are impossible in the natural. Okay, the Holy Spirit can do things so much better. Okay, if I said, you know what, we have a need for, you know, X amount of dollars, the Holy Spirit might have been going to raise 10 times that much. Okay, and I don't want to limit what He was going to do and how He was laying on people's hearts, so I'm just going to go to Him by faith and then let Him do that. Okay, that's an example. But things like forming the light out of darkness, okay, creating the heavens and the earth and the seas and the trees and all that's in them, creating mankind out of the dust of the earth, yeah, that's not natural stuff happening. That's supernatural, okay? And that's what He is capable of when it's in His hands. So we want to turn our situation over to the Holy Spirit, and then you'll see some things happening that you could have otherwise never seen happen. Okay, as a believer, you want to utilize the Holy Spirit. You want to go to Him often, okay? So often, in fact, that you live in the Spirit and you walk in the Spirit. Okay? Live in the Spirit and walk in the Spirit. In order to do that, you're going to have to connect with the Spirit often. Okay? All the time. Constantly in an ongoing relationship. Okay? You're going to walk in through your life tuned into Him. Okay? Sort of listening as you're going through life, you're in a situation, He knows what to do and when to do it and how to do it and all these kind of details. So ask Him, talk to Him, include Him, okay, listening then to what He says. Maybe some examples in the Scriptures. Romans 8:5. It says, for they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, they mind the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God. It is not subject to the laws of God, neither indeed can it be. Okay, it's of the flesh. So then they that are in the flesh, it says, cannot please God. But read verse 9 and cheer yourself up. Okay, because you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwells in you. Amen. Okay? Now, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. But if Christ be in you, then the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of Him that raised up Jesus from the dead, supernatural, right? If the Spirit of Him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwells in you, then He that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken and make alive your mortal bodies by His Spirit that dwells within you. Okay? It's all about the Holy Spirit. You want to live the life that God calls you to? Connect with Holy, because He's got it figured out. Remember, He understands. He knows what God is doing. We want to stay in tune with the Holy Spirit, and that is how you not only get on track, but then you stay on track, and you fulfill all that God had in mind. I like something Andrew Womack, I receive his tweets on Twitter. Thanks to the boys helping me get that all going. But anyway, I like something Andrew Womack tweeted this week. He said, each of us as believers have our own personal teacher in the person of the Holy Spirit, who has anointed us to understand and to know the truth. We need to show up at class and let our personal teacher instruct us. It just means being there with Him. Okay, He knows what's needed. He knows what's next. Okay, if you want to know what you're supposed to do, you want to know when you're supposed to do it, you want to know how to go about it, it's going to be the Holy Spirit that reveals that to you. Look at 1 Corinthians 2:14. He says, the natural man receives not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them, because they're spiritually discerned. Okay, it's about connecting with the Holy Spirit. Okay, the Bible says God is a spirit, right? And so if we're going to connect, it's going to be Holy that's going to help us to do that. He's right in the middle of all of this. So if you're wanting to hear from God, you're going to have to hear in your spirit. Okay, so often Christians look for the sign from God in the natural. Okay, and I don't know how good of an example this is, but I was thinking of an example that, let's say you're wondering, you know, gosh, should I go down to the bar, maybe tie one on, maybe flirt with my ex-girlfriend? I know I'm married, but, you know, I just kind of, and you're wondering if you should do that. And then you go outside, you decide, okay, I'll go. And you go and you get to your car and it has a flat tire. What's the first thing you would think right there? It's a sign from God. God did not want me to go do that, so I have a flat tire, I'm not going. Right?
Yeah.
Don't we handle things like that once in a while?
Yeah.
Okay. That is a natural response. It's a natural solution. That's a natural answer from God, so to speak. What would happen if we actually had to engage our faith, and instead of going out and seeing a flat tire, we just took it to God, we prayed, and then we listened to the Holy Spirit. And then it's going to be, we'll get the same answer, but it's going to be by faith. It's going to be God speaking to my heart. It's God speaking in your spirit, by the Holy Spirit, the power of the Holy Spirit. He speaks to you, and then you're like, I'm not going. Don't even have to go get the keys off the rack. Which one do you think moved by faith and which is by the flesh? Okay, we can go get to that point where we need a flat tire. And I'm not saying God won't give you natural responses like that. He will, especially when you're a younger believer. When you're a baby Christian, God will give you those all the time. You'll get signs from God. Okay, but as you grow and mature, you're going to be learning to listen to the Holy Spirit, and you're going to be hearing things inside. And you're going to have this knowing inside, because it is His Spirit within you that quickens your mortal body to do the right thing. Okay? And you'll begin to hear what He's saying, and it'll begin to make more sense, and you won't even get to that point of having to go out and see the flat tire anymore. Okay? Doesn't that seem like that's how we should live as a believer? Okay? We believe in God. We believe in the Holy Spirit. We want Him to speak in and through us. So let's get to that point. Okay? Mature and grow to that point. You know, if you're still getting signs, I'm not saying God won't do that, but we want to get to that point where we live in the Spirit, we walk in the Spirit, and we walk by faith, okay, trusting in God. As a believer, you're going to want to seek out the things that are spiritual and seek out the things that are supernatural, okay? Isn't that a supernatural response to pray, to hear in the Spirit, and to act accordingly? That is supernatural. That's not the natural flat tire method. Okay? We want to seek out those spiritual ways to be able to deal with life. Okay? Not just the things that you can see and touch and feel. Okay? Because your feelers will lead you astray on occasion. Okay? Guilt is a horrible thing. Hate it. Guilt is one of those things that just causes people to do the dumbest things. Okay, they feel guilty. They feel like somebody's going to reject them, so they do something stupid. Okay, or I shouldn't put it that way, but they do something that didn't go the right direction. Okay, but get away from just hearing always just your feelers, your feelings, and start listening to the Holy Spirit. Okay, because He will minister on and speak right in and to you. Jesus told us very plainly in the Scriptures that as a believer, you have a supernatural advantage over the lost or over the unbeliever. Okay, in fact, you have a supernatural advantage over the world. Okay, the world system. Okay, you can get to the point where it has no effect on you. I'll give you a good example, and I really think this is what happened. We got that money out of the coin jar, went to split it up, went to give money to Isaac, and Isaac's like, I don't want that. I don't have any need for it. Okay, how many of us would be like, yeah, I'll take that? You know, kids would take that and blow it on whatever, candy and this and that. And Isaac's like, I don't really need that. Why don't you guys just keep it? Okay, and I'm not just boasting of him, but I think that that was one of those responses that it's over the world system. The world system says, gimme, gimme, gimme. I need. I want more and more and more. Money is great. Okay, but when you're in the Spirit, that stuff has no effect over you anymore. Okay, it doesn't have that same pull. That's kind of a bunny trail. But look at John 14:16. You finish this up. Jesus said, I'm going to pray. If Jesus prays, you think he got his answer? Yes, he did. He said, I will pray the Father, and he's going to give you another comforter that he may abide with you forever. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it sees him not, neither knows him, but you know him, for he dwells with you and shall be in you. This is that advantage I'm talking about. Because how many of you would like to have peace in your daily life rather than stress and worry and, you know, torment? Okay, it's going to be the Holy Spirit that gives you that comfort. Okay, he is the comforter, capital C. I didn't put it that way. King James Bible reads it out that way. He is the Holy Spirit, the comforter. Okay, some of you are still afraid to access or to utilize the Holy Spirit's power because he is powerful. I'll tell you what, you want to see some dynamite kind of stuff, it's the Holy Spirit. Okay, so he has that power, but rather than being afraid of it, like he's out to get you, realize that he is here to help you. Because that capital C word comforter, break it down in the Greek and it literally comes from a root word that means help. That's what he wants to do for you. He wants to comfort you, give you peace, and he wants to help you. Okay? Access the capital H helper in your daily walk and you're going to get some things accomplished. Okay? He is where your peace, your joy, your comfort is going to come from. The people of the world do not have the Holy Spirit. They will not handle things according to the spiritual ways. They will handle it according to the flesh. Okay, so if you're seeking the world for help, you're going to get worldly advice. Okay, they have no other choice. They have not received the capital S Spirit. Okay, but you do. You have Him. You have the Holy Spirit. And it's like we talked about last week, you can still choose to handle things, a difficult situation, according to your flesh, but you don't have to because you have the Spirit of God. Okay? You don't have to handle it according to the flesh. As you live and walk by faith, you can deal with things being guided now by the Holy Ghost. Now I'll ask you a question. Wouldn't handling things the way that God would handle things be most likely to turn out for the best? Okay, it absolutely. Wouldn't it most likely to handle things the way that God would handle them, wouldn't that turn out for your best? Okay, not just the best overall, but I mean literally for your very best. Of course it would. God knows. God's got things figured out. Okay, the Holy Spirit is known as the Spirit of Truth. Okay, He doesn't just know a potential solution. He knows the solution that God would do in this situation. Okay, he knows the truth. The solution to what you are dealing with or what you're going through. The Holy Spirit knows exactly what to do, when to do it, and how to do it. Look at 5 John 15:26. Jesus says, "But when the Comforter, when that Helper comes, whom I will send unto you from the Father, even the Spirit of truth, which proceeds from the Father, he shall testify of me." Okay, to testify means to bear record, witness, and give evidence of. In other words, the Holy Spirit tells you what Jesus would do. Okay, you want a WWJD? Okay, what would Jesus do in this situation? Holy knows exactly what Jesus would do in this situation. He's the one to go to. Okay, ask the Holy Spirit. It's his job to testify of Jesus. Okay, how would Jesus handle any situation? Holy knows it. That's his job. Okay, now I shared a little bit on Wednesday night about being a little stressed out about a conversation I had to have with some folks that were dealing with death and that kind of stuff. It was going to be a difficult conversation, and I was kind of concerned about it. I was running all these different scenarios through my mind part of the night and then part of that day, and I praise God that I shared with my wife, and I said, you know, Margie, I'm a little concerned. I don't really know what to say to these guys, okay? And she quickly reminded me that, Gary, the Holy Spirit knows exactly what to say to them. Just trust Him and let Him be in control, and it'll all work out. Okay, from that moment, I had that capital C comfort. Okay, I knew that He was with me. I was like, you're right. Holy Spirit knows exactly what to say, and He will begin to show and say those things through me. Okay, total peace, total comfort came over at that moment. Look at John 14:25. And I'm jumping around here in John, but he spoke it well. He said, Jesus said, "These things have I spoken to you, that being yet present with you. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I've said unto you." How do you know what Jesus would do? He's going to tell you what Jesus would have done. Verse 27, he says, "Peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you. Not as the world gives, give I unto you. So let your heart not be troubled, and neither let it be afraid." Okay, in other words, you do not have to stress. You do not have to worry or be afraid in any circumstance, because you have the Holy Spirit. At times, you may need to remind yourself of that. Just like my wife reminded me of that, you really have no reason at all to worry. Okay, if you are, you haven't turned it over. Give it to Him. He'll take it and run with it. Just like when God said, "Let there be light." Look at Mark 13:11. Jesus says, "When they shall lead you and persecute you, they shall deliver you up." He says, "Take no thought beforehand what you shall speak, neither do ye premeditate. But whatsoever shall be given you in that hour, speak ye. For it is not you that speaks, but it's the Holy Ghost." 1 Corinthians 2, verse 9, we read this earlier. It said, "As it is written, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, neither has entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for them that love Him. But God has revealed them unto us by His Spirit, for the Spirit searches all things, yes, even the deep things of God." 1 Corinthians 2:12 says that we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, so that we might know the things that are freely given to us by God, which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teaches, comparing spiritual things to spiritual. Okay, the Holy Spirit knows and will give you the exact words to speak, the exact next step, okay, and the full understanding of what the truth is. If you want to know something, you want to know the absolute truth about a matter, what does God see when He looks at it? It's going to be the Holy Spirit that's going to reveal that to you. He's the one that knows what God says. He knows what God knows. He knows what God wants and desires in a circumstance, and then he can reveal that unto you. Now, as I was writing this, I was trying to think of some real life examples, some kind of personal examples of times when I prayed and Holy Spirit intervened on my behalf. And I asked Margie about it. I said, you know, can you think of some times when the Holy Spirit just intervened and stepped in and did this or that? And he's like, well, you know, we got to thinking, and you know the conclusion that we came up with was that the Holy Spirit is probably the greatest unsung hero in the entire history of life. Because guess what he does? He does not take the credit for what he does. He passes the buck on, and he gives it to God. So God says, let there be light. And the Holy Spirit makes light. Who gets the credit? Everybody says God made light, right? Okay, Jesus came and he lived this life sharing wisdom and all these powerful divine inspired words. And the Holy Spirit is the one that teaches them to us and reminds us of what Jesus said. But Jesus gets the credit for saying it. The Holy Spirit is like the epitome of the humble servant of God. Okay, he is always doing his work with absolute perfection. Never once missing it, never stepping out of line, never boasting, never taking it upon himself. He is always passing that glory on to God or to Jesus or just intervening in a situation and you don't even know how it all happened. Okay, but it all did. And it was holy that made that happen. Okay, so he is alive and well and working and pulling off things on your behalf. Okay, he gets so often overlooked in the Christian life, okay, by even religions and things that misunderstand him. Some religions don't even recognize him as part of the Trinity. My wife heard a sermon online, some other pastor in town that was preaching on the Holy Spirit and gave him one little tiny thing. This is what the Holy Spirit is about. And that was it. Didn't give him credit for all this miraculous stuff that he does and the things that he intervenes, the revealing to us the things of God and all these things. Some people reject the Holy Spirit's gifts. They say that they're not for this era. You know, that was for back then, but not for now. Okay, just take away, strip him of all his power, glory, wonder, all the things that he's ever done, and say that that was for back then, but today doesn't really do much. Okay? Some people reject his gifts and his power altogether. Okay, saying, you know what? That's just not for me. Okay, I don't want to go that way. What they're really saying is I don't want to give complete control over to him. I'm telling you today, yielding to the Holy Spirit of God is a vital, critical, and wonderful opportunity that each and every one of us has been offered. Okay, he was given to us as a gift from the Father. Okay, so to live like a believer, you are going to be intentionally and intimately acquainted with the Holy Spirit. Get to know him. He'll just live and abide and grow, and you'll have this relationship, and you'll begin to know more of what to do spiritually instead of waiting for your emotion, waiting for the flesh, waiting for some outside thing to cause you to go in a direction or not. You know, you'll be spending, when you're listening to him, you'll be spending every moment of your waking day, and I want to say every night, because he's the one that speaks to you in dreams and visions in the night. Okay? So we'll be hearing from him 24 hours a day. Do you know you can hear from the Holy Spirit in your sleep? I get it all the time. I wake up, I got a song in my heart. I got something God has spoken in a dream or things that have happened. God begins to lay something on your heart. Mornings are beautiful for that. Okay? It's fresh from him. The world hasn't bombarded you yet. Okay? And you wake up and you got a knowing inside. Okay, that's holy, speaking to you in your sleep. Okay, I want to end this morning with a song. Some of you probably heard it. It's called I'm Listening by Chris McClarney. I don't know if I say his name right, but he's kind of an up-and-coming guy. He's been around for a while, but he's starting to get pretty popular now. And you'll hear this song occasionally if you listen to Christian radio. But I want to just sing through it if we can. This talks about listening and making sure that we're not missing what God is saying to us. Thank you. Amen and amen. So let's be listening to the Holy Spirit. It's online. Amen. Father God, we want to come before you. Just lift our hearts to you, Lord. I know that, Father, you've been speaking to hearts this morning. And I just pray, Lord, that we just entreat that. Let it get in there and do something in our life, Lord. Not just hear it and walk away, but Lord, to let you speak and hear what you're speaking and then act on it, Father. That you have talked to us, you've shared with us about your Holy Spirit, Lord, and His ministry in our life. And Father, I pray that you will encourage us to listen to what you're saying, Lord. Father, we trust in you. We give you our entire being, Father. We turned it over to you when we said, I give my life to you, Jesus. And Father, from this moment on, I pray that we receive and acknowledge all that you're doing, that we know that you're showing us what you would do through your Holy Spirit. And Father, just love on us as we go this morning. Just show us a care for us and power in our life through your love that just takes us beyond what we've seen before. Lord, we're trusting in you. We thank you for it. In Jesus' name we say, amen. Amen and amen.